What a great youth department we have. Right now, I'd like all the youth who are here today, would you just stand up for us, please? All the youth, stand up. All back there, too. Wonderful. You may be seated. We'll get to the youth mentors later. A few words to say to them. So exciting, I think, and I'm so proud to be a part of a church where we have youth who take Christ seriously and take leadership seriously and are living out their Christian faith, both here but also out in the community as well. Way back in April of 2005, I preached a message called The Greatest Community. The Greatest Community. And I think that's the church. I don't think there is any other organized or semi-organized, that would be us, group of people that has the greatest impact in the world. God has designed the church to be the greatest community of people. It's where God has chosen to perform his work, the redemption of the world. And so through communities like Santa Clara First Baptist and many, many others scattered all over the world, we proclaim the gospel and we help people who accept Christ grow in their own understanding of the love of Christ and in their obedience to him. To drive home the point, Jesus spoke often of the church. He did it in various ways. He didn't use the word church. But when he looked out at his disciples, when he looked out at his followers, those who said they followed him, he would use titles like, "You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth." And Paul called the church the pillar and support of the truth. And that's exactly what we are, folks. We're the light of the world. We are the ones who have the light that shines in the darkness. We understand and are learning and growing in our understanding that there is a God, that he is personal, that he cares about all of us, that he's revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ, that his son died on a cross, and redemption, forgiveness, reconciliation is offered to each and every person on the planet. We are the light of the world. And we shine this light into a dark space where people don't know God, where people are living lives that have no moral rudder to them, where people are desperate, where people are lonely, where people have no place where they belong. The salt of the earth, I like that one too. The salt of the earth, well, I like salt on my stuff. I don't know about you. Can you imagine French fries without salt? That just would not be right. And there's so many other things where salt is such a wonderful thing that it adds flavor and zest. And that's what the church should do too. Add flavor and zest to life. No deadheads here. Nobody who is just kind of, you know, going along, but there's no excitement, no thrill, no sense of adventure, no energy. The church ought to be the place that has the most excited people, the most energetic people, the people with the greatest sense of joy, the greatest sense of hope, the greatest power and expectation that they can make a difference in the world. We're the salt of the earth. And as I said, Paul said, we're the pillar and support of the truth. Where is truth? You talk to different people out in the world today, they all have their own ideas about truth. Well, Jesus has given us the truth. He has proclaimed the truth. In fact, he incarnated the truth, didn't he? For no other religious leader everywhere or anywhere said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Jesus incarnated the truth because he in his very being told us about God, and he shared with us how God operates. So we're it, folks. We're the best hope of the world, the greatest community there is. And it's all at God's initiative. It's all of His grace. Grace is that wonderful gift. The grace of God is a gift. It's offered to everyone. And it comes in various forms. There is a grace of God that forgives and reconciles. Paul said in his letter to the church at Ephesus, chapter 1, verse 7, in Him, and he was talking about Jesus, in Him we have redemption through His blood, through His sacrifice on the cross, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. The riches of God's grace. Not just a little bit of grace, not just some grace, the riches of God's grace. I mean, I don't know about you, but I do things I'm not proud of. I do things sometimes that I'm ashamed of. And I have this sense of guilt that weighs on me. How am I going to get rid of guilt? Well, I could try to do a lot of good deeds and just kind of in my own mind and heart say, well, there's a balance scale maybe in the cosmos, and if I do enough good things, that'll balance out all the other stuff, the bad things. But in fact, the truth of the matter is that we have a God who in Christ forgives us and cleanses us and removes our guilt. And it's the grace that He gives us to forgive and to cleanse. Well, He just doesn't run out of it. I've used the illustration before that every morning God shows up at your door, and if you've got a driveway, He dumps that truck of grace right on your driveway. There's a whole amount of wonderful grace, brand new. Mercy's new every morning. And we can appropriate that grace, and we can find the forgiveness of God every day. And we can be relieved of guilt and shame and a sense of moral failure. For He stands us on our feet again and He says, let's go. All is forgiven. Let's move on. We proclaim the riches of God's grace, and this gives us a place to belong. A place to belong. I heard it in the testimonies of all three of our youth in one way or another. They're talking about, I have a place to belong. I have a place called home. I have a place where I feel good about being there. Now you think about home for a minute, that concept. In a functional home, in a home system where there is love and there is grace that's shared, you feel good about being yourself. You feel good about what you bring to the table. You don't have to prove yourself to people. You don't have to put on airs. You don't have to put on a mask. Home is a place where you feel like you can take your socks off and people aren't staring at your feet. Home's a good place. And God wants to bring everybody home. Everybody, without exception. If you feel today like you're kind of out there somewhere and you don't have that sense of home, God wants to give you a sense of home. He wants to bring you home, a place to belong. That's one kind of grace. Then there's another, the grace of God which empowers and equips and ministers. Get stuff done. Paul, in writing to the church at Rome, chapter 12, said, we have different gifts. He's talking to the church. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. This is the functionality of God's grace. The fact of the matter is that we're all differently equipped to do God's work by the gifts of grace that God gives us. We call them spiritual gifts. And these are spiritual empowerments. And all of us who are believers and who have been indwelt by the Spirit, we have been given one or more of these spiritual empowerments or gifts to do the work of ministry, to make a difference, to touch lives. And so everyone here who is a disciple of Christ, do you know what your gift or gifts are? Do you know how you're shaped for ministry? Do you realize that you have an important part to play in the work of the kingdom of God? For with the gifts and this grace that is given to us, it gives us a place to serve. A place to serve where we can make a difference. No one is unimportant. Now we have different roles. Some roles get people in front of other people. And so we might have a role where someone presents God's word on a regular basis. We have roles that are a little less complex, but just as important, and that's ushers and greeters. I mean, you can't imagine how important it is to walk into a new place, a new church setting, and have somebody smile at you. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel welcome. It's good when you're warmly greeted by someone, as opposed to walking into a place where you're totally ignored. I've gone to churches where I've been totally ignored. Everybody's talking to everybody else, but I just walk right past people. That's a sad situation. You realize how important the greeters and the ushers are? Now, you don't need to have a PhD. You don't need to be a rocket scientist, although we have a few who kind of qualify for rocket scientists. But you don't need to be one to be somebody like that, or to help out in our children's ministry or our youth ministry, or to help out in serving in the various ways that we have. Last week, July 4th weekend, we had such a wonderful experience where the people of the community showed up and sat on our grass and parked in our parking lots to watch the fireworks over at City Park. We didn't invite them. They just showed up. But we served them. There were people who were making popcorn. There were people who were passing out popcorn and bottles of water. And later on, when it got dark, glow sticks. You don't need to have a PhD for that. And we had a whole group of people helping out. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to see. The grace of God gives us gifts and abilities and allows us a place to serve. And when we serve like that, we touch the lives of people. Because people need to know that somebody cares. People need to know that somebody's listening. People need to know that they're important enough to be noticed. And even have gifts given to them. I had a number of people last week at that July 4th outreach come up to me. Some of them have been here now two or three times, and they figured out I'm the pastor, and they came up and say, "Pastor, thank you so much. This is such a wonderful thing your church does." They're touched by it. I say, "Well, it's because of the grace of God. That's it. We can give this stuff away." People pulling into the lot, and they would say, "Well, how much for parking?" Everybody's charging for parking. They're all doing fundraisers. And we say, "The parking's free." And they go, "Free? Well, yes. We're a church, and we just like to let people know that the grace of God is free. And so we're just kind of doing a little bit of it ourselves, handing out some free grace. In our case, free parking." "Thank you so much," they would say. Touching lives. Making a difference, sharing the good news of the gospel of Christ. Now, we need every person to be involved in this kind of work. And you know, the world, it puts up these people that get all this notice and all this attention and notoriety. And, you know, for a period of time, they have their 15 minutes of fame or whatever. I got to thinking about that, and I don't know why, but the concept of the old supermodels came to mind. I went back in my head and I said, "Who were the supermodels when I was growing up?" Well, let's put the first one up there. The picture. There she is. Anybody know who that is? Twiggy. Today, we would call her anorexic. Back then, she just looked interesting. She was hot back in the day. This was in the 60s. And then, let's put up the next one. This was in the 70s into the 80s. Anybody know? Cheryl Teagues. Some of you checking out those fashion magazines, aren't you? All right. Yeah, I was in love with Cheryl. Just look at the picture. She's looking right at me. So, yeah. And then this next one is a superstar of the 90s. I think she's still around. Not Beyonce. Naomi Campbell. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of you have the names of these people, but some of you, when I put these pictures up, you had no idea who these people were. But back in their day, they were hot. They were all the rage. Everybody knew their name. Well, their time has come and gone. What doesn't just go on and is forgotten is the influence we have on people. When we share the grace of Jesus with people and it changes a life, that person will never forget. Never forget. When I was in high school, I had a Sunday school teacher named Don Denniston. He was terrible. He had terrible material to work with. He had not been trained in any way, shape, or form. I wonder sometimes if when he showed up, he was cracking the book for the first time. I have no idea. I will never forget Don Denniston because he cared. I don't remember any of the lessons. But Don showed up every week. And Don did his best. And I, as a teenager, I'm looking at that and I'm saying, this guy loves Jesus. And because he loves Jesus, he's loving me. I've never forgot it. I never will. When we serve out of the grace of Jesus Christ and we touch lives, we affect people forever. Well, let me speak right now a little to the younger folk here. Yeah. How do you fit in? Is there a place for you here? What do you think? I think so. Do you have to wait in making a difference? Have to wait until you get a little more education? Have to wait until you get a little more, get a little more experience, a little older, before you're going to make any difference in this world? I say no. I say you are having an effect right now. You don't need to become more mature or more educated or older to make a difference. You can make a difference right now. I like what Paul told his younger protege, Timothy. Paul had picked up Timothy in his second missionary journey. We do not know how old this young man was. But here's an interesting comment that Paul writes to him in his first letter to him. He says, "Do not let anyone look down on you because you're young. But set an example for believers in speech and conduct, in love and faith and in purity." I checked out a few other paraphrases and translations. I like what Phillips, in his J.B. Phillips, said in his translation, or actually paraphrase. He said, "Don't let people look down on you because you are young. See that they look up to you because you are an example to them." And then he names the places where they were an example. In your speech, in your behavior, in your love, in your faith, and in your sincerity. So, younger folk, you want to influence people, you can do that. And here are the ways you can do it. You can do it in your speech. When you share with your classmates and with your friends that you are a follower of Jesus, that you believe in what the scriptures tell us about the life of Christ, In your speech, you can share with them the truth that could change their lives forever. Your behavior, your conduct. Well, that's not to say you have to act like some old fogey. You act yourself. But that's part of the beauty of this, because if you're really released in Jesus Christ to be yourself, if you love yourself the way God loves you, you will be your true self, the self that God has made you to be, because you are uniquely made, and you're all beautiful, and you have a unique personality that can be shared with other people. And if other people look at you and they say, that person is themselves, they're not putting on airs, they're not afraid of the opinions of other people, they're just having a good time being them. You're showing people how to live truly in the world as a truly freed up person in Jesus Christ. In your behavior. Whoop, let's put that verse back up. Did we lose it? Ah. In your love. Well, obviously you want to love people, right? And sometimes in school or with friends, there's some unlovable person running around. Somebody who isn't cool. Somebody who's a little off-center. Somebody nobody else associates with. Maybe you could spend a little time with that person and share with them love, the love of Christ, because Christ loves us just the way we are, right? He loves you just the way you are. He loves everyone just the way they are. So let's love others that same way, with all their idiosyncrasies, with all the unique ways that they do life. And but maybe everybody else is trashing that person, but you know what? You stand up for them sometimes. You say, hey, let's not be so hard on so-and-so. They're a person too. They got feelings too, right? Your faith. You guys and gals are coming to a place where you're beginning to really grapple with what you believe. That's a good thing. I was talking to a parent yesterday, and the parent was saying, well, I don't know. My kid is beginning to question this and that, and asking a lot of questions. And I said, well, that's a good thing, if they're honest questions. Because there needs to come a time when your faith becomes your own. See, in our faith, we start out with the faith of our parents. We believe what our parents told us. And then your world gets a little bigger. And if you're going to a church, an assembly of believers, and you have Sunday school or youth group or whatever, you start believing what you learn in youth group or in your Sunday school hour. And, oh, okay, I accept that. And then you start meeting other people out there, and you start learning from them about what they believe. And so that affects your faith. What do you believe about God, really? And his word to us, and how God's working in the world, and what are his morals and values. And then you go to school, high school certainly, college for sure, and now faith is challenged in lots of different ways. And you have to decide what you're going to believe, because it needs to be your faith. Now, I happen to believe the pastor of this church is really right on his beliefs. And so if you ever have questions about something, go talk to him. But it's got to become your faith, because you've got to weigh it all out. You've got to talk to God, and you've got to say, God, now, is this really the way you operate? Is this what you believe? Is this how you act? Is this the right and the wrong of life? You've got to work that out before God, because each and every one of us stands on our own before God. So in your faith, it needs to be an active faith. It needs to be a growing faith. It needs to be a faith that can ask questions and even challenge God. He's big enough to take those questions and share the truth with you. because I do believe with all my soul that there is truth in this world. So in your speech, your behavior, in your love, in your faith, and in your sincerity, sincere, that means pure. Literally, it's a compound word, sincere, it means without wax. Because back in the day of the Romans, you have a beautiful vase, maybe made out of marble, but there's a chip in it. Well, obviously, the chip is going to reduce the price of the vase because it's not perfect, right? What they would do, crafty salesmen, would take wax and they would put the wax in the hole and smooth it out and polish it some. So it, to the untrained eye, you would look at that vase and say, oh, it's perfect. It's all perfect. But in fact, it had wax. It's not perfect. No, let's show people who you really are. And again, that gets back to who God has made you to be. To be sincere with people means to be honest and upright, to let your yes be yes and your no be no, to be a person of integrity, a person who people can trust. People may not always agree with you, but be honest. Be sincere. Okay? Paul tells Timothy, don't let people look down on you because you're young. No, have people look up to you. Because even at your age, you can have great influence in this world. You can change lives forever. Okay? Pretty exciting. Sharon Sendis and I, Sharon, of course, is our worship leader here and does so many other wonderful things. We were talking about this service and what we would call it, and Sharon said, you know what, I think we should call this service Intergenerational Awesomeness. Dude, was my response. Intergenerational Awesomeness. Isn't it awesome that we have such diversity in this church family? I just had somebody tell me this coming in today, oh, you have so many young people here. Cool. And we have more mature people here. And we got people in the middle. And to add to that, in terms of diversity, we just don't have a bunch of white people here either. We are more and more reflecting this valley, which is, again, cool. Because there are some churches that are little islands, and they, you know, if you're not the right color, or if you're not the right age, or if you're not the right whatever, you don't get greeted as well when you walk in the door. You're not invited. You're not included. You're kind of pushed off. And people get that. People sense that. But here, we got people from all over. And it really shows up when we have those international potlucks. And people bring their stuff from all over the world. Oh, awesomeness. This is the strength of God's church. We're not all the same. Everybody brings their uniqueness into this place. And that, to me, is exciting. Everybody hold up your index finger, please. What is on your finger? We call it a fingerprint. And how many fingerprints are like yours? Zero. You're holding up a unique part of yourself. Your uniqueness. What are you going to do with your uniqueness? What are you going to do to make a difference? Doesn't matter how young or old you are. what color is your skin, how much education you have, or how much you earn. God has made each and every person unique, and you have a unique fingerprint that you can apply to this world. No one the same. One songwriter a long time ago said, "You're a part of God's name no one else can proclaim." Pretty cool. So be yourselves under the lordship of Jesus. Now, I want to take a moment at this time to thank our youth mentors, and I'd like you all to come forward at this time. Yep, hold that applause, please. All that we got here today, I don't know, do we have some working in the nursery? We have some working somewhere, right? Kimberly's not here. She's in Santa Barbara. All right. Ta-dum, ta-dum, ta-dum. Well, I've got... Yeah, what happened to your wife, sir? Oh, in the nursery. Okay. You talk about making an impact, having influence, changing lives forever. Well, these guys and their spouses, except for, well, we're working with on prayer every day, Daniela, every day. He's out there. We're looking for him. We're making a difference in the lives of a lot of people, but certainly our youth. They're not paid. Sorry. Except for Matt, they didn't ask to be paid. No, they haven't asked to be paid. They do this because God has called them to make a difference. And in their area, it's in the area of youth ministry. Okay? God's called you. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, God has called you to make a difference in an area of ministry. And if you're not doing anything, you're sitting on your finger. Okay? And God's going to come to you at the end of it all and say, "What did you do with all those gifts that I gave to you, and all that time and all that energy that you could have used to affect lives?" I'm not saying ministry is easy. It is not. I'm not saying it's a walk in the park. It is difficult at times, but I want to tell you there's nothing better than influencing people for Jesus Christ. Nothing better in the world. So, band, why don't you come on up while I'm saying this? And we have just a very small token of our love and appreciation for our mentors today. Daniela, God bless you.
Thank you.
We are praying for you, really. It's all good. Matt and Kimberly Stevens are here. Well, sort of. And Mark and Kirsten are here, sort of. And Andrew and Mary Wong. Andrew is the one that you will see as our director of youth ministries. This is an unpaid position with a lot of work to it and a lot of love that he shares. Now, would you give them a round of applause? Just a minute. They could always use more mentors.
Amen.
More mentors, we can affect more lives, right? More children's workers, we can affect more children and their families. More ushers, we could be friendlier. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It just keeps on rolling, folks. Okay, let's pray. Gracious Father, we give you thanks for your graciousness to us. You're a loving God. You sent your Son to die for us on a cross. You have proven your love. May we have hearts to receive it. open ourselves up and receive your grace of forgiveness and reconciliation and of adoption into your family and being equipped to serve, growing as disciples of Jesus. Your grace comes in many ways and forms. It's all wonderful. And as I said, we have grateful hearts because of it. We thank you for our youth and our mentors, a vital part of our church and our life and ministry. We pray your great blessings on them and us too, as we seek to follow you, expand your kingdom, give you glory, and bring light into this dark, dark world of ours. These are our prayers we give to you now in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all God's people agreed and said, Amen. Amen. We have one more song. Let's stand and sing. Amen.